that chooses to believe God's word over how we feel, how we think, what everybody else says, what is common sense. In other words, faith chooses to believe that what God says is truth, and we're willing then to depend upon it by the exercising of our will and obedience. Does that make sense? It's to put your trust in. You don't put your trust in something that you do not act upon. So it's an action concept. I put my faith in my trustworthy God, but you can't just say, I trust God. It really doesn't have a whole lot of meaning. I trust what my God says about who He is and what that means for my life. Yes?
You said faith, or Hebrews 11, 1, isn't that a definition of faith, but a description of what faith does?
Yes, I'm going to go into that, so I will explain that in just a minute. Yeah, you've caught that. It's not a, it, sometimes people make that a definition. That will really be confusing. But a faith has to have an object. Anybody know a good verse that we quote often from Romans? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And anybody know what that, which of the Greek words that word, the word word is? It's not the one that we normally think of with the Bible, that's logos. It is the word rhema. It means specific truths about, like for instance, if I was speaking to husbands, husbands, love your wives. That's a rhema. They need to believe that's true and need to believe that God will enable them to do that. Children, obey your parents. That's a rhema. We need to put our faith in Christ for salvation. That's a rhema. So faith is when we put our dependence upon what God has said specifically and act on that despite how we feel, what we think, what anybody else says. We choose to believe God. That's faith. And by the way, faith will always go against common thinking. It'll even go against natural human thinking. And that's what makes it so difficult. All right, let's get to the description then in chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me give you an example. Is the little phrase, knowledge is power, is that accurate? Well, yeah, it is. I mean, to know things gives you more ability to do things. But is knowledge is power, is that a definition of knowledge?
No.
No, not at all. It's a description of one of the effects when you have knowledge. You can have potentially power to do things. Does that make sense? So you'd all say, well, yeah, that makes sense, but that's not a definition of knowledge. Well, faith is, you see here in verse 1, the substance. The word substance means assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The word evidence means convincement or conviction. In other words, when you choose to believe God, God will give you then assurance of things that you have confidence in. The word hope for means that you have confidence that this is true and this is going to be what happens. And you are going to have convincement by God of things that are spiritual. We're temporal people, we think in the human realm, but when we exercise faith and we've yielded to God, we begin to get assurance of these things that we're believing God for, and we get a convincement, a conviction that the spiritual reality is what is genuine reality. Let me just give you a simple little statement of it that might help you. Homer Kent says, faith is the confident assurance which the believer has because God has provided conviction about unseen realities. Faith is the confident assurance. See, this is what happens. when you trust God. Do you have confident assurance that when you trusted Christ, He saved you? I trust you do, based upon His Word. And God has given you a conviction about spiritual reality. You're a child of God. Those things are real to you, right? People would say, well, you can't see them. It doesn't matter. I know them. The Bible says it. And the Spirit of God has impressed my heart. It has become a conviction. So when you believe God, when you depend upon Him, you will begin to get more and more an assurance and confidence in those truths as you see God work, and you will begin to get a deep conviction about spiritual reality. That's why some people live in the spiritual realm and have a consistent walk with God, because they're walking by faith and they've seen God work. You know, I give the illustration because it gets right down to where we live. I remember making a decision as a young man about tithing. And, tithing as you get older is tough. 10% off the gross, that's a big deal. Can you trust God? And God will supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. She quotes that in the passage here. I can tell you right now, I know that to be true, not just because the Word of God says it is. I have seen God meet my need over and over, and the spiritual reality of it, it changes your life. It's just something you can't shake me from. It's far more than words on a page. It is a life of seeing God do it. And many, many other people would say the same thing. That's not mine, that's God's. And God has blessed in many ways in the spiritual realm, way beyond even meeting our needs financially. Or you could take any other step. In parenting principles, you begin to see what God says about what you need to do in disciplining and loving and nurturing and training your children. You see God's Word works, and you develop a convincement that spiritual reality is truth. Does this make sense? It's a spiritually understood concept. So believing and trusting in God means we trust in what He says. We trust in what He has told us. So we go back to many of the things we've talked about God, and we're going to talk about other things. Then we've got to believe that God is trustworthy. Now she brings this up. Here's a good one. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Boy, I believe God's Word, but there are exceptions. That one doesn't, I don't think that one's going to work, you know. Well, that's actually a good point. You know, I like pastors preaching, but he got to meddling with that verse, you know, or whatever. But the matter of wives submitting, she brings that up, and she gives that long illustration about her husband making a decision that she didn't agree with, and then God just blessed and blessed and blessed about it, and she realized that God, you know, used spiritual reality of leadership principles and trusting and having the right attitude to bless her and her family. And so it's a very honest. The one thing I think you probably appreciate about this book is she's pretty honest, isn't she? She lays out exactly where her struggles are, and you can really relate to those. But it's where the rubber meets the road, ladies. We can say, oh, I trust my God. I know He's trustworthy. But then God says this, and can I really trust Him about that? 1 Peter 3:5 is even stronger. For after this matter in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. And then he goes on and says, Sarah called her husband Lord. And that's the strongest word you can find. It's not kurios, which is we normally think. It actually would be translated despot, you know. And you say, whew, well. But the point is, she wasn't saying that he was negative in that sense, but she believed that God had given authority to her husband spiritually, and that she could trust. And God highlights her in that, because it was a struggle for her with some of the things that they had to go through. They had some real issues in their life. But that's a really good example. Do we really believe God in this matter? You know, in a little bit of time, you can discuss some of the other things that, yes, I trust God, but what about that truth? What about this truth? You know, it gets down to what contradicts what we're doing. It's what exposes our disobedience. That's where we now have to decide, is God trustworthy, and will God meet our needs, and can we believe that His plan is right for me? I've had the experience over the many years I've had the privilege of being a pastor of counseling, and I'll have somebody say, well, I just don't really see it that way. And I said, well, I've read you scripture. Does not the scripture apply directly to this? Am I misapplying it? No, I just don't think it's right. Well, I'm sort of done at that point. And I'll say, listen, you're not arguing with me. You're arguing with God. And that's all, that's where I have to leave it. You can get mad at me, that's fine. But this is what God says. And I'm surprised how many people will say, you know, well, that's just what they thought back then. Or that's not really for me. And it's very clear it's for them. You know, well, I just feel this, or God told me. Well, don't make God contradict His own word. By the way, ladies, be very careful of saying God told me. Now, God does tell us. He obviously tells us through His word, but He does take subjectively His truth and gives us direct leadership. I'm so thankful for that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. He will. He will direct your path. But, you know, so often we will have some kind of feeling, or we will rationalize and we'll sound pious, and we'll say, that's what God told me to do. And it contradicts the Word of God. And God didn't tell you that. Now, you know, that ought to scare you. Where did that feeling come from? It was either your own deception, or there is another spiritual force that knows how to try to act like God, that tries to be an angel of light. I'm all for God, the Holy Spirit, leading and guiding, but it is all in accordance with God's word. And if what you feel you're being led to do is not square on with Scripture, you're hearing a voice that ought to scare you to death. And you got to be very discerning about that. That's why you've got to walk with God. That's why you've got to be obedient. That's why you got to be thorough in the Scriptures. You got to be very submissive to whatever God tells you. Because you do want a subjective walk with God. You do want Him to personally lead you. But you can easily be deceived if you have an open spirit, but you're holding back in certain areas in your life. So that's a very important point. We need to really get a hold of what faith is. So faith is based on what? Not just a concept of God. You can say to you blue in the face, I trust God. What is faith based on? The Word of God. The Word of God and the specific words of God that you can understand and act on. You've got to get a hold of that. If a person says, I'm saved because I believe in God, are they saved only on that basis? No. You know, a lot of people sincerely believe in God, and if they don't get saved, they're going to end up in hell. It's pretty scary. And a lot of Christians believe, well, God's trustworthy. And all of a sudden, they find a truth that they don't like. They don't obey it. No, they don't believe God's trustworthy. They don't believe you can really depend upon His word for their life. It's not step-by-step walking with Him. This is a big deal today. We're a very independent bunch. I had our seminary students tell me about their generation. And because I don't like to be critical of millennials, because I'm a baby boomer and I can be really critical of baby boomers, you know. And whatever generation you are, we all had our problems. It's called just being sinful human beings, but there are characteristics of generations, and one of the things that they said about their generation is that there's this I know best about my life and what I think, therefore, is truth. I think and therefore I am. And do we not see that today? Everything is relative. They have been taught that there is no such thing as absolute truth. And we all can fall into that trap, and we've got to be very careful. So faith is depending upon God. Now, let's take what we've learned about God and finish out these few moments with that standpoint. God is trustworthy. But remember, what you know about God even comes to you from what the Bible says about Him, not what you transpose upon Him. God is not an elderly grandfather in a rocking chair in heaven, and we just have warm, fuzzy feelings about God. That's not our God. That's not biblical. God is not like your father. He had a good father. Your father then gave you a good image of your heavenly father. But your heavenly father is what the Bible says he is. Your father maybe broke promises. Your father maybe was arbitrary in his discipline with you. Your father got angry with you. You were scared of your father. Your father didn't talk to you much. You appreciated him. He loved you, but you never had a relationship with him. You know, I could go on and on describing fathers. I got good news for you. Whatever negative qualities your father has, and all of us have fathers with negative qualities, because we all are growing ourselves. That's the way it is. But that's whatever negative qualities in your father, don't put that on God. God the Father is perfect. That's why this study that we are going through right now about knowing your God and in a regular way in your devotions, trying to look for the different attributes of God, is extremely important. I've got good news for you. God keeps every promise. God is good. He just is good. God wants to bless you. God's discipline for you is, if you're a Christian, is not judgment. It's simply child training to try to help you. It's always good. Everything God will use for His purpose. As Romans 8:28 says, God can take even the hard things and the consequences from our wrong decisions and even use it for good if we come back to Him. You can count on your God. He's perfectly holy. He's not arbitrary in what He does. He is consistent. He is the same, past, present, and future. His word is true. Now, do you realize that everything I told you is based upon things we're studying in the Word of God? Okay? You get back to faith in the Word of God. But many, many, many ladies have a concept of God that is based upon their experience with authority. Let me say this, God will never hurt you. And don't you ever get hurt with God. Don't get bitter with God. And remember, bitterness with other people is, if you get down to the root of it, is really bitterness with God. He let that happen to me. Some of you had some bad stuff happen in your life. And I don't blame you for struggling with it. But I can tell you right now, don't put that on God. You live in a sin-cursed earth. Take responsibility for what you've done. Realize that people that may have hurt you, you've got to give that to the Lord. And God is not thrown by that. He can make your life precious right now if you will trust Him. But have the right view toward God. So God is trustworthy. You can go to Him. You can go boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. It's a wonderful thing. He's always there ready to listen. He's ready to communicate. He's given His heart to you in the Word of God. He has a unique relationship that He wants with you. You are as special as anybody else. Those are things you've got to get hammered into your heart and get it really there so that you have a biblical view of God, and then you make biblical decisions of faith based upon who God is and what the Word of God says. That's faith. So just having this nice warm thing, well, I can trust God, but then, oh boy, God's upset with me today. God's not answering my prayers. He doesn't keep His promise. Now, you know that's not true, but you're thinking that way. And oh, God, I know it says to do this, but I just can't do that today. Well, now we're in trouble. That's not faith. That is your own thinking, and it's your own reaction, and you're missing out on the grace of God. Faith always brings God's grace, His free gift of His working in our lives. And we ought to be able to say, as Job 13:15 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him in him. God does all things well. And what happened when Job did question God a little bit through what he said through Job, when God showed who he was, revealed who he was? I tell you, you read those last few chapters, wow, what a God. And what was the response of Job? I know that thou canst do everything. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Folks, it's not a good thing to not trust God. We need to trust Him. But you got to trust Him biblically. And it gets down into the trenches of how we live. Let me end with Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and shield. We talked about shield from Psalm 84 on Sunday night. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth. So how do you know that you're trusting in the Lord? You really are free in your heart and spirit. And it's a wonderful thing to know, I'm okay today. I don't care what happens. My God loves me, and He'll take care of me, and He'll give me direction. There ought to be total rest every day. And some days are hard. I mean, really hard. But they can be great days. But you got to trust in the God of the Bible, and you've got to trust that what He says is true and act on it. Then you'll have that kind of relationship. So when I saw what this chapter was, I thought, you know, I need to do a lesson here on faith. It's so important that we truly get a hold of that.